Audible Inc. presents an original Homeland story, Phantom Pain, written by Glenn Gers, narrated by Damian Lewis.
She gave me two wristwatches, your friend, June, when she locked me in the box. A shipping container, or a freighter out of Halifax bound for Honduras. Stowed away in a 6x9 space between stacks of flat-screen TV boxes. Everything else was already there. I had my camping lanterns and my portable chemical toilet, my MREs and bottles of water, trash bags and wipes and batteries, a box of paperback novels, and that ridiculous handheld toy fan, which was amazing. I can't tell you how many times I closed my eyes and held that thing in front of my face. When I felt that little plastic breeze, just for a minute, I could believe there were still kids and front lawns and screen doors out there somewhere. She knew, June, how it was gonna be. I was ready to fight the fear. This was nothing. This was a hotel for survival nuts, a kid playing make-believe war compared to where it all started. 22 days. I organize my time. Every 2 hours, stretch and exercise. Take a walk, 6x9. See the sights. I put a bunch of tiny divots in some of the TV boxes so I could tell which wall was which. Every 6 hours, open a packet of beef brisket or a can of lasagna. The MREs were just surplus store wannabe with fake stencil lettering, like somehow they'd been left over from World War II. But they still kept dragging me back. That's what you have to watch out for. Getting pulled back to the war or Nazir or the idea that Dana and Chris and Jess were watching the news call me the face of evil. Then the second hand ticks and it jumps back. Tick and back. And you're stuck between 2 seconds. Forever. You can hear yourself breathe. Feel your heartbeat in your cage, and you lose it, your grip, your mind, whatever it is that makes you, you. So I started writing this, in the dark, to keep from going insane. I turned off the lantern, felt the ship moving on the water, listening to the engines. I tried to imagine what you were doing at that very moment. All mussed up in your bed, or all put together in your suit with your ID tag clipped to the pocket, with your coffee in the morning or your wine at night. Sometimes I could feel you against me again. I could taste you. I could hear your breath getting all ragged and frantic. I didn't have to wonder if you were thinking about me at the very same moment. I knew they weren't going to let you stop doing that. But I was alone. I was lost at sea. I had been blown into a million little pieces, and everyone was putting them back together wrong. June did everything she could. She was kind. I didn't expect that. Someone so plump and motherly with her fleece and her bowl-cut hairdo. She said she knew you at the agency before Beirut, but that was hard to reconcile with the jars of corn relish on the shelves in her garage and the herb garden out her kitchen window, sleeping through the winter. She was kind, taking her time with her hand on the container door, waiting for me to say yes, I was ready, to get locked in a metal box for 3 weeks. And she didn't just pack the watches with the other stuff. She put them in my hand, so I could see the day and the date and the button on the side to make the face light up blue. "You're gonna be all right," she said. But I wasn't. Sooner or later, it all came back. Digging into my brain like claws. Special reports. Complete coverage. Nick Brody, the all-American terrorist. The face of evil. Everybody asking the same thing. How could this happen? They had so many damn pictures. High school yearbook with the goofball smile